everybody. Welcome back to the Tipsy Ghosts. We're your tipsy hosts, Sarah, and Lindsay.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello. I have recently had the joy of standing in line for hours at the DMV.
Oh, that's one of life's fewest joys that we have.
Oh, boy. My daughter is now 15. Well, she's older than 15, but
she's been 15.
She has been 15. But we needed to go get the learner's permit. And you know what? The whole time I am trying to teach her a lesson that you need to go to the DMV prepared. Nothing is worse than having to come back to the DMV.
Yes.
Facts. Facts.
And my DMV that I am near does not take appointments.
Oh, see, my DMV does, and I love it.
Same. I don't know why they all don't do that.
They started doing it in COVID, and ours just never went back.
I wish that they did.
I never wait in line. I'm there for like 15 minutes.
No, you can put your number in, and they're like, okay, head to the DMV now.
Yep, they're like, come at this time.
Yep.
You know, that would be smart.
It's genius. I don't know why we haven't been doing this forever.
The other problem is there's one person working the license line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's three people working the titles and registration line, so that line moves really quick. So even when they've cleared out all their customers, there's still just one person working the license line. So, and each person takes about 20 to 30 minutes. There's a point to this. Okay. We go there.
Why does it take 20 to 30 minutes to get your license?
These are great questions. Okay. So we go there at like 3:30. It closes at 5. I know we're cutting it close. They cut off the line at 4:00. Okay. We get up to the very front at like 5:05.
Mm-hmm.
We get up there. Guess who doesn't have the right form?
Ryan.
No.
Her mom.
Sarah.
Oh, I was so pissed. We spiraled. It was a big, I was so upset. I got to go back again this morning.
Did you have everything?
I had everything this time.
Good.
You know what I was missing was her social security card.
Mm.
I could not for the life of me find it. I was having a nice minty bee because I was like, I feel like a terrible mom. Who loses their kids' social security cards? I tore the house up and guess where I found it?
I'm nervous.
In her baby book. I hid it in her baby book.
Okay.
Makes perfect sense now.
You need like a fireproof box. Oh. That's where I keep all my important documents.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
Everybody else's was in there except for hers.
She has a fireproof box.
I have a safe. And everybody's stuff was in there except for hers.
I bought my fireproof box after I almost accidentally threw away Evan's birth certificate because he had it just like in an envelope that was stuffed into the envelope box. And I thought the envelope box was empty. And I went to throw it away. And I said, there's an envelope in here. I went to grab it to throw that away. And there's his birth certificate.
So we lost our keys to ours. So we had to like drill it open because we needed something inside. Yeah. So we just haven't gotten around to
mine's not locked.
Getting a new one.
It's unlocked.
What if somebody needs to steal your identity?
It's just in case there's a fire or a flood. It's also waterproof.
Well,
doesn't it feel nice to be prepared for emergencies?
I mean, it's just my documents. That's all I have.
I'll tell you what. This time of year is when I take the pet carriers down to the basement.
Uh-huh.
So that they're down in the basement. I can grab the cats and throw them in the carriers that are already in the basement.
In case there's a fire?
No, a tornado.
Oh.
It's tornado season.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to say.
Just lock them in the room with you?
I have a fire escape plan, but I don't have a... I guess you don't need to escape your house in a tornado.
No, you hide in your house.
You duck you and cover.
How long have you lived here?
Half my life.
In the basement.
Yeah.
It is almost, well, we're kind of entering into tornado season. Yeah. So strap in. It's about to get wild.
So you went back this morning.
Oh my God, yes. And just as a little side note, the DMV is always crazy. And like 2 years ago, there was some news story that came out that a woman showed up at this particular DMV with a gun and was shooting in the DMV.
Oh my gosh. What is wrong with your DMV?
Well, I imagine she was very irritated that only one person was working the license line.
It was warranted.
We were all very frustrated, but none of us brought a gun. Lady, chill out. However, some guy comes storming in and he's got like his headset on. Okay. Doesn't work there. He just wears a headset for funsies.
I do too.
And it has like a little microphone and he has flipped up.
Gamer.
Oh, it looks like a gamer.
It is old school.
He stepped away from, he's AFK, away from keyboard.
I know that. That's what Second says that all the time.
I did AFK, not know that.
Flips it up.
I'm still on BRB.
He doesn't say BRB. It's AFK. Yeah.
Sounds like a rifle.
Oh, it does.
I don't like it.
I had to ask him what it was. He was actually like talking on the phone with this little headset thing on. Okay. So anyways, he comes storming into this DMV and storms this whole line almost out the door. This guy storms right up to the front desk and starts talking to the lady doing the licensing and interrupting the person who had been waiting there forever. And she's like, sir, things are getting heated. Sir, you just cut in front of all these people. And he's like, I need to know why they put a hold on my license. It was always some psycho thing.
Hmm.
And then he comes back to where I am and tries to cut in front of me in the line. And Ryan's like, if you don't say something, I will.
Oh, gosh. Because
we had already been there for a while. And so I did. You'd be very proud.
I am very proud.
I said, sir. And because there was like five people behind me even. And I said, sir, I think the line starts back there. And he goes, I'll get behind you. But they came in after I was here. And I was like, whatever, take it up with them. So he waits for about 5 minutes and then tells the guy behind me, I have to go sit in the chair because I can't stand this long. But I am behind her. And he goes, no, I'm behind her. And I'm not going to hold your spot either. So some shit was going down at the DMV today.
That makes me so uncomfortable.
No, tell me about it. No, that was, we were at the very end, so I had to wait for a whole another hour and a half during all this tension.
Did that guy wait that long?
He waited, but he was sitting in the chair, and several people kept coming in behind. Nobody's going to hold this guy's spot.
No.
He's probably still there.
Oh, no. I'm sure he barged his way in somewhere, or he was about to throw a huge fit. It was the uncomfortable.
I'm sorry. So you guys had to like stand in line?
Yes.
You can't even sit? You don't go and grab a ticket like in the early days with a number and you sit?
No. It's like an old school, like this when you're going on a ride.
Barbaric.
You need to drive out of your way and go to a different DMV.
I have recommendations.
Yes.
Do you know the icing on the cake? There's no goddamn bathroom there. So you stand in line for 2 hours. You got nothing. You have to wait the whole time.
Drive out of your way and go to a different DMV. Lessons are learned.
Well, Ryan got to drive us home.
How did she do?
The DMV. She did good. We actually drove to Target. And then she also drove home from Target. She was like, I'm scared. I was like, meh, get over it. You can do this.
It's a rite of passage to go to Target in your car.
You've got to do it.
You have to.
Yes. Can she drive us around now?
Yeah. Yes. We might want her to practice a little bit more.
That's okay.
Especially on the highway.
No, I don't want her to go on the highway with me yet.
No. But like we could
she go could to drive dinner. Us a quick trip. Yeah. Or to dinner. To Olive Garden.
We can go to Olive Garden.
Ryan. We keep saying that, but can we?
Hey, yes. Ryan.
Ryan, we have a favor.
She would love that. Drive us to Olive Garden.
She's still in the phase of loving to drive, so
yes,
it'll be fine.
Cute.
You don't love to drive?
I mean, it's fine.
That's how I feel. That's fine.
I like to drive when I'm by myself.
Okay, so I'm not with us.
Cannot
Sarah.
Be judged.
Not with us.
Is the thing.
So, but do you feel judged by us?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay. Why? I don't recall ever saying anything.
No, it's a body language. So.
Like me sleeping in the front seat?
Or me pointing at someone trying to cut in front of you and shaking my head at them? Don't you do it.
No, I appreciate that. No, honestly, as with most things, it's all in my head.
Okay.
So I feel less, like I don't feel like I'm on stage when there's nobody else in the car. Whenever I'm driving
fair.
People, I'm like...
For future because reference, I make fun of your safety features?
Everything.
It shouldn't be you. It was the car.
This is the car's safety features.
It is my selection in car. Oh that has God. So many safety features that it's overwhelming for others in my car.
Her safety features are a bit overwhelming.
They're just loud and startling.
I think that's the point.
I know, but...
But they startle
sometimes
me.
Sometimes you startle you into a wreck.
No. They saw me out of a wreck.
No. That's the opposite effect on me.
Don't wreck. Okay.
Baby. I'm like, what am I doing?
That's what I would do.
And here's a prime example of why I like to drive alone.
We are.
Have I ever judged you? Yes.
We actually are fabulous. I honestly do passenger not princesses. That. Okay. And we judge your car, not you or your driving.
I truthfully try to sleep whenever I can.
Yeah, she does. Car. That's why she's the passenger princess.
But then whenever you guys tell me, yeah, I didn't get to sleep that much, then I feel like it was my fault.
Okay, it's not your fault. It is hard to sleep in a car. It's hard to sleep in a car.
It's hard to sleep hungover in a car. Mm-hmm, all right. True. That's usually what I am when I'm riding home the next morning, like, ooh. Well, anyways, now that you have admitted that you think we judge you constantly, which is not true. I'd like to tell you guys a story.
I would love to hear a story.
Same.
And I, too, took you to your favorite country.
Australia?
Down under.
Yes.
Aw, look, down we were under. On the same wavelength.
Okay, well, this story is about true crime.
True crime on my own.
I heard you breathe it in. Why couldn't you do it?
That was really rude.
I didn't want to be judged.
Oh, my God. This story is known by several different things in Australia, but I am going to call it the Backpacker Murders.
This is giving me 70s and 80s hitchhiking vibes.
Fun fact, you're very close. In the 80s and 90s.
Oh, I was so close. They were behind us. We were in the 70s hitchhiking, and they were like, we're going to wait a few decades.
Well, hitchhiking and backpacking were both pretty popular activities in the 80s and 90s in Australia. And in some cases, you know, probably like it was here, it was a popular way to travel when you hitchhike. Things, however, took a turn for the worse, of course, as they
shocker.
Do.
Shocker. What? It's not safe?
When two runners discovered a dead body while hiking through the Wollangalo Forest on September 19th, 1992. The next morning, police discovered a second body about 100 feet from the first.
I don't feel like 100 feet's that much.
It's not, but he probably saw it, or they probably saw it and like skedaddled out of there.
Okay.
Got the police, and then they came back and then found the other one. The bodies were identified using dental records, and they were British backpackers 21-year-old Caroline Clark and 22-year-old Joanne Walters. They were last seen in King's Cross on April 18th, 1992. And from what I gather, King's Cross in Australia is kind of a popular gathering for the youths. They youths. Like to go there, and that's a jumping point for backpackers. So there's a bunch of trails that take off from there.
Okay. That's where they start their adventures.
Yeah. Walters had been stabbed a total of 15 times, and Clark had been shot 10 times.
Oh, overkill. Jeez.
Yeah. Police think she was used as target practice.
I hate that.
Police searched the forest for any other victims, but at that time they were unable to find anything. October of 1993, a man was searching for firewood in the forest when he comes across human bones. He tells police, who then discovered two more bodies. They were identified as 19-year-old Deborah Everest and 19-year-old James Gibson, a couple from Victoria, Australia. They had been missing since they had left for a festival on December 30th of 1989. Gibson's skeleton was found in the fetal position.
Aww.
And showed 8 stab wounds. Everest had been beaten, her skull had been fractured, jaw broken, and knife marks were seen on her forehead. And she'd also been stabbed in the back.
Jeez.
Investigators were confused because they had found a few of Gibson's items in 1990, several miles north of where the bodies were found. So like several years earlier. I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there too. The timeline is a little confusing on these, so bear with me. November 1st, 1993, police were doing a search in the forest and came across another skeleton. It was 21-year-old Simone Schmiedel from Germany. She had been missing since January 20th of 1991. She had several stab wounds along her spine, and there was clothing found at the scene that did not belong to her. It belonged to another missing backpacker named Anya Habshid. She was 20. She had gone missing with her partner, Gabor Neugebauer. He was 21 on December 26, 1991. Sadly, their bodies were both found on a nearby fire trail on November 4th, 1993, in shallow graves about 160 feet apart. Anya had been decapitated, and despite extensive efforts, her skull had never been found.
Jeez.
Okay. Did you guys ever play Ski Free? Yes. On like your old PC computers?
Yes.
And like the Yeti, the scary Yeti
that comes across real quick?
Oh, yes.
This is what it's reminding me of. Is there a scary Yeti?
A scary killer.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Australia doesn't strike me as a Yeti environment.
An Australian Yeti.
The great Australian Yeti.
Haven't heard of that cryptid.
Yeah, what would Australians' version of the Yeti be? / Bigfoot.
Bald.
What?
I was thinking like kangaroo or you went bald.
Like no hair, bald?
Like yeah. It's a skinless rat.
A naked mole rat. A naked Bigfoot. Think of naked Bigfoot.
I don't want to think of naked Bigfoot.
It no, might be you. Nice, though, if you think about it.
No. I can't picture him without all of his facial hair.
He reminds me of the Monsters, Inc. He gets shaved.
I was thinking naked Bigfoot with, like, a boomerang and one of those, giant things you... The tube things.
So naked Bigfoot is running through the outback with a hat on and playing a musical instrument.
No hat. Yeah. It's a boomerang.
A boomerang. Sorry. I was thinking
it's his weapon. Okay.
He sounds terrifying.
Right?
Okay. Well, stand by. It might be him.
Is it gibberidoo?
I don't know.
I can't Google. Hold on. I can Google. Australian,
like,
how do I type that?
Australian musical horn.
Didgeridoo, isn't it?
Yeah, didgeridoo.
Okay, there.
Didgeridoo.
Hey, we were close.
It's a didgeridoo.
Yeah, that's Bigfoot's didgeridoo.
So a boomerang and a didgeridoo with a bald Bigfoot.
Sounds terrifying.
That is the Australian Yeti.
Why does he have to be bald?
Because it's hot. He wouldn't survive in all of his hair.
Does he swim to cool off? Does he have gills?
He swims around Australia, the whole circumference.
That's a lot of swimming.
I think he's in the outback.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's got thick skin because snakes... Spiders.
Oh, spiders are terrifying.
Because people are mean to him.
Yeah.
You gotta have thick skin.
Good point.
Yeah.
Well, so anyways, Gabor, the other person that was found, he had been shot in the head 6 times. During this time, police were offering rewards, public warnings to avoid hitchhiking along the Hume Highway, especially international backpackers, because they seemed to be the ones that were targeted the most. They profiled the killer and determined that there were very similar characteristics in each of the murders. Each of the bodies had been dumped in a remote bushland and covered by sticks and grass.
Why do you love Australia so much?
Because of the bushland.
This country just seems terrifying.
But it's like so exotic that it's fascinating.
Okay.
How long do you think I'd last in Australia?
In the outback?
Yeah. In the outback?
Or like if you're going to Sydney, I mean.
Sydney?
That's the only way to say it.
In the outback, not very long, but neither would I.
I don't know that anybody can. Each victim had been stabbed multiple times in the torso, and many showed signs of sexual assault. They felt that the killer had restrained the victims and spent a considerable amount of time with them during and after the murders, as evidenced by campsites that were found near each body. They were also able to link the bullets, shell casings, and cartridge boxes from weapons that were linked to the crime scenes. So November 13th, 1993, police receive a call from a 24-year-old Paul Onions from the UK.
Paul Bunyan, is that you?
It's the new updated Paul Bunyan. Well, he's the real hero here.
Paul Funyuns.
And Bunyans. Anyways, he calls the police from the UK. And he told them that he had been backpacking in Australia in January of 1990 and accepted a ride from somebody known as Bill.
Bill.
The Australian Yeti.
I don't think it's Bill. I don't think that's his real name. At one point during the ride, Bill stopped the car and pulled out a revolver and some ropes and said that he was going to rob Paul. Paul at that time was able to flee, but Bill chased him and shot at him. Paul flagged down another motorist and they were able to speed off. But he was able to later describe Bill and the car that they were in to police. Police were able to find details of the call made after this incident that backed up what he was saying now, several years later. So they didn't really look into it then, but they were like, oh, we should probably look into that.
We should have done that back then. That would have been cool.
Yeah, and actually, they couldn't find things initially. They found something handwritten that backed it up. But
so glad that they were taking the tip seriously.
Right. In addition to Paul Onion's statement, very vague
here.
I can't
take his name seriously.
He was shot at with some gunions.
Mr. Onion.
It was no Funyuns.
Or Onions. Mr. Onions.
This is going to be a very vague statement, but the girlfriend of somebody who worked with a guy named Ivan Milat called the police too, because she thought he should be questioned about the case, that this Ivan guy should be questioned.
Ivan? Is Ivan Bill?
Ivan is Bill. February 26, 1994, police begin surveillance in Ivan Milat's house. They picked up on several other things begin adding up, including that Ivan had recently sold his car after police found out those first two bodies, and acquaintances of Ivan said that he was obsessed with weapons.
Mm.
They also noted that Ivan happened to have been not working on those days that the victims had gone missing or were assumed to have been killed, because again, these were like several years prior. May 5th, 1994, Paul Onions. He flies to Australia to help with the investigation.
Oh, Paul, good job.
Punions.
Tell you. Onions.
He. Fluyens. I don't know.
To Australians.
What's the awesome blossom from Outback? Is that what it is?
The Bloomin' Onion.
Bloomin' Onion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Paul Onions is
so delicious. Bloomin' Onion. By the way,
it is good, but it's always too much food.
Excuse me?
If there's three of us.
No, like you get it, and then you also have to get your whole meal. But Bloomin' Onion is a meal in itself. You can never finish it.
It's delightful.
I love the Bloomin' Onion.
I do too. I'm just saying it's huge. I need a mini Bloomin' Onion.
Just one onion.
Just give me one
can
onion.
I have one Paul Onion.
One punion, please.
One punion, please. Some sauce.
One Paul Onion. Are you saying we need to go to Outback now?
Only for that. I don't really like the rest of it.
They have a wedge salad.
You're right. I discovered that. I do love a good wedge salad. Anyways, Paul, he flies to Australia to help with the investigation, and he positively identifies Ivan Milat.
As Bill? So he said he saw yes. Ivan, and he said, that's Bill.
Yep.
Okay, gotcha.
As the man who tried to kill him. 50 policemen then surround Ivan Milat's home, and he was arrested on May 22nd, 1994, on charges related to the Paul Onion attack.
Okay.
And they searched his home and found weapons that matched the murders from the Blangalow Forest. I know I'm not saying that right. Blangalow.
Blangalow.
That sounds like a didgeridoo. Can you say it in like a deeper voice and over again?
I don't know if I can do it. Hold on.
And like really drawn out. That's pretty good.
Yes. Is there a didgeridoo in the room with us?
I'm sorry, Australian Bigfoot. Is it you?
It's the Aussie Yeti.
Oh, that's adorable.
Bill.
named Bill.
Cousin to Patty Abe.
Oh, that's really cute.
Okay,
Australia.
Do they even want us there anymore?
Like, what is wrong? The second they are naked Bigfoot, they're like, get out.
I'm sorry, you can't
it's
come in.
It's hot down there, okay? You gotta strip your fur off. It's a rule of thumb.
Is that a common saying down there?
Welcome to Australia.
Like, it's hot.
Strip
Dananda.
Your fur off.
Yeah, something like an Australian pickup line is what that sounded like.
I'm gonna strip your fur off.
Oh, boy.
I'm gonna strip your fur off before I go down under.
To the bushland.
So bad, no.
Okay, I'm gonna strip your fur off before I go down under to your bushland.
<I'm blushing. laughs> Please stop.
You can take a look at my didgeridoo.
Yes. It's It's perfect. Everything about this is perfect.
Australia, we are so sorry.
I'm not.
We really like these words.
What do they eat? They eat Vegemite or whatever that is called.
Vegemite.
Yeah, that's another fun word. They have lots of fun words.
It's not fun to eat.
I've never tried it. Have you?
No. I guess, okay, there's a world market by my house I can try. I'll get some Vegemite and we can try it.
Growing up, I thought that was just Nutella. It looks like it.
It's the forbidden Nutella. That's what it is.
Nutella's like secret sister that they keep hidden.
Oh, what is it made of?
I don't know what Vegemite's made of. Let's see.
It's fermented something.
Oh, I don't really like fermented things.
Thick, dark brown Australian food made from leftover brewer's yeast extract with various vegetable and spice additives.
Okay.
Brewer's yeast extract.
That doesn't sound good.
It has a strong flavor. It is salty, slightly bitter, malty, and has a flavor similar to beef bouillon.
I don't hate beef bouillon.
I like beef bouillon.
I do not. Gross. Sorry, Australia.
Gross.
We're on a tangent there. I don't know where we are. They surrounded his home.
Yeah, okay.
And they found guns.
They found weapons that matched the murders from the forest, along with several items belonging to the victims.
He kept like trophies. Gross.
So, just briefly, who is Ivan Milat?
Bill.
He's don't Bill. Know.
He was born December 27th, 1944 in New South Wales.
It's like 1994. That's amazing.
Sorry. Wow. In the 90s for a really long time. Okay, so Ivan was one of 14 children.
Jeez.
They grew up a pretty poor family. His dad was very rigid when it came to discipline and was known to have a pretty bad temper due to his alcoholism. Neighbors recalled seeing his father standing on top of the children and beating them with a 2x4.
Standing on top of them?
Yes. So he did not have the greatest upbringing. Most of the boys in his family were well known to the police for doing different things and just being naughty, basically. They were often seen with knives, firearms, and shooting at targets in their yard. Ivan's own siblings remember him displaying antisocial and psychopathic behavior at a very young age, and their example was that he would attack animals with machetes.
With machete? It's Australia. Yeah. I'm like, who has a machete as a kid?
It's every Australia. Kid has machete. I don't think Outback. That's true.
How does the Yeti not have a machete?
Oh my God.
It's the Yeti's machete. Of course exactly. He's got one.
Darn it.
That was a missed opportunity.
A little later in his life, he was caught doing some more minor crimes like breaking and entering. And at that time, he was sentenced for 2 years for hard labor. That was his first real crime that he was caught. Later on, at age 22, he spent 3 years in prison after theft. April 7th, 1971, he abducted two young hitchhikers at a railway station with a knife. He sexually assaulted one of them, but when they were stopped at a petrol station, the two girls were able to escape. They went to police, and Ivan was arrested later that day. And some say they think that that's when he realized he can't let people leave alive. Mm-hmm. While awaiting his trial, he was involved in a string of robberies with his brothers, and then he faked his own suicide.
Oh, okay.
He fled to Queensland and avoided capture until 1974, when his mother was taken to a hospital after having a heart attack. Mm. Somehow, he never had to serve any time for those crimes.
For the sexual assault?
Correct. I think he was just able to avoid capture, but then something happened with his lawyer in there that they were able to get the victims to change their stories, basically. He took a job as a truck driver in 1975 and worked at that job for 20 years, which brings us into the 90s through those crimes. Mm. Okay, so now that we know who Ivan was, we can kind of continue with the story after he was arrested. He showed up in court on May 23rd, 1994, but did not enter a plea for the attack on Punyans. May 31st, he was charged for the 7 backpacker murders. July 27, 1996, a jury found him guilty of all 7 murders. He was given a life sentence for each count without the possibility of parole. And he was also found guilty for the attempted murder and false imprisonment and robbery of Punyans, and then received 18 more years. Police believe that Milat could have possibly been involved in other attacks and missing backpackers that fit the timeline and MO. They still were never able to confirm that, but there were several that they thought were linked to him. There's also a common theory that he did not act alone. In an interesting turn of events, his ex-lawyer supposedly made a deathbed confession where he claimed that Ivan's sister, Shirley, had helped him. He never admitted to any of the killings. In fact, he was so adamant that he was innocent that he cut off his little finger with a plastic knife to mail to the High Court of Australia to force an appeal.
What?
How exactly does that work?
I have questions.
It didn't work.
How would that do anything or prove anything?
That's a great question.
And a plastic knife? Dude.
So apparently, in order to appeal in Australia, you need to send a digit.
A or severed
digit. Or don't, because it didn't work.
Yeah, don't.
So
he sent the wrong digit.
Yeah, well, good point. It needs to be the
He sent the his middle little finger. They were like, listen, we don't want the pinky.
Yeah. He had also, while he was imprisoned, attempted to swallow razor blades, staples, and other metal objects in an attempt to harm himself.
Yeah. I cannot imagine swallowing a razor blade.
In May of 2011, he went on a 9-day hunger strike, demanding the staff give him a PlayStation.
They don't care if you're starving. Sir,
it didn't work.
You're only hurting yourself.
May 2019, he was transferred to a local hospital where he was diagnosed with terminal esophageal cancer. And after treatment, they sent him back to prison. October 27th, 2019, he died of complications from esophageal cancer and stomach cancer at 74 years old. Before his death, officers visited him 8 more times to try to get him to confess, but he never did.
He stuck to it.
He stuck to it. And that is the story of Ivan Milat and the Backpacker Murders, and he is one of Australia's most prolific serial killers. I had never heard of Ivan.
I haven't heard of Ivan either.
Or Bill.
Or Bill the Terrible.
I also haven't heard of Naked Bigfoot, so there's something new every day. All right.
Thanks for going to Australia.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much for that episode, our true crime episode. You can always find us at thetipsyghost.com with our socials linked from there, or send us an email at thetipsyghost@gmail.com.
Please give us a 5-star rating and a great review anywhere you listen to podcasts. We really appreciate it, and it really does help.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. We'll catch you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.